DW.
I mean, I wouldn't swap it for the world. It was just wonderful to be involved in a piece of art, you know, that will always be there.
It was the film musical that broke all the records, 11 Academy Award nominations and millions of fans around the world. Oliver was the last great gasp of an era of musical cinema. For Mark Lester, who played Oliver, it changed the course of his life. I come to meet him at his home in Cheltenham in England. 5 decades on, and you can still tell it's him with his impish smile and blonde hair.
So how did you get the part? I mean, there's a lot of people put in for this, didn't they?
Yeah, there was a series of auditions, and I kept getting asked back. So I'd go up for an audition, maybe there'd be 100 kids in a room, and then, the next thing I knew, I go back and there'd be 30 kids in the room and then 10. And then eventually there were 3 of us.
They were called to a final audition in front of legendary British director Carol Reed and producer John Wolfe.
I remember we were in the Grosvenor House Hotel in Park Lane and they sent us downstairs to the barbershop and they said, we want a really bad haircut. And the guy said, well, I don't do bad haircuts. Anyway, they cut his hair short and we came back up and then again they started just walking around us, looking at us. And anyway, I went home. And the next thing, I think about a few days later, I was in the bath. My mum, the phone went, my mum shouted up saying, oh, you got the part of Oliver.
But you couldn't sing, is that right?
And I couldn't sing and I couldn't dance. And, you know, I don't know why the hell I got the part, but hey, I think I must have had the look.
Oliver was a mammoth production. They filmed for almost a year and took over every soundstage in London's Shepperton Studios. Great names of British stage and screen filled the cast, masters of the craft who would not compromise an inch on their vision. In particular, Carol Reed.
I remember one scene we did in the funeral parlour when Leonard Rossiter was chasing me around the kitchen, I think it was. We did over 200 takes on that. And Carol Reed, took 3 days to film what is probably about 12 seconds of film. Because it wasn't right. He just, no, we've got to do it again. Wasn't right, we do it again. And when you watch it, you wouldn't even, seamless. But it doesn't matter if they take 3 days to do something that should have taken half an hour. You knew that they were crafting something very special.
Yes, I think you can tell when you watch it. Thank you very much, Tom.
Where is love? Does it fall from skies above?
Playing alongside Mark was a cast of classic British actors, including Oliver Reed, who played Bill Sykes, and Ron Moody, who was Fagin. Mark's child co-star was the boy who played the artful dodger, Jack Wilde. Jack had been discovered while playing football in West London by talent scout June Collins, mother of singer Phil Collins. His impish charm often stole the show, and he went on to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars for his part in Oliver.
Well, Jack and I met on the first day. Jack came over and kind of introduced himself, and we just got on and I kind of looked up to him because he was about 5 years older than me at the time. And he was a very good footballer, I seem to remember. And he could do that thing where he bounced the ball on your knees and kick it and keep it in the air. And I thought, oh, God, that's pretty good. He was also an extremely good dancer and singer.
He was perfect for that part, wasn't he, really? He was always a cheeky chappy, wasn't he? And that's what the Artful Dodger was.
Oh, absolutely. Jack had a very good sense of humour. He absolutely was although he's from Manchester, he was your kind of typical Cockney boy. But he wasn't a Cockney boy, but he came across as that. And he's a cheeky chappy, yes, absolutely.
Jack, Mark and the other boys and girls in Oliver grew up together on the set during the year they spent filming. And Mark in particular did a lot of growing.
One of the things was, because I was 8 years old, eight and then nine, so over a period of time, I kept growing, and I grew, had a growth spurt of about 3 or 4 inches. And of course, Jack, poor old Jack, was obviously...
Shrinking. No, I'm joking.
He wasn't shrinking, but he wasn't growing. And so they kept having put lifts into his shoes. And I think he was on like 3-inch, 4-inch heels at the end of it. And my teeth kept dropping out as well.
Oh, really?
At that age, I lost probably half a dozen teeth right at the front. And every time I lost a tooth, of course, I had to whisk off to the dentist and they had to make up a little false tooth for me to... At one time, I had about 4 of these things in my mouth just so that I, you know, continuity-wise,
yes,
you know, I couldn't be in one scene smiling and then the next having no teeth or 3 teeth missing.
Consider yourself at home. Consider yourself one of the family. I've taken to you so strong. It's clear we're going to get along.
What makes Oliver so special and live on in the memory are its spectacular musical scenes. As Mark says, each one was a major production in its own right.
Well, Consider Yourself was... it was huge. I think that was the biggest as far as people involved in. Back in the days of Oliver, there wasn't CGI. And so what you saw was what was going on. And when they panned back on the crane, there were 1,000-plus dancers all dancing at the same time. It was just the coordination of it all. There's one scene where Jack and I have to run through butchers and the butcher chops... I think it's a pig or something,
yes,
in half, and we have to run through at that split second in time. Yeah, it was just all the timing of the whole thing put together was a masterpiece in its own way, really.
Yeah, and how long did that take to do?
We probably did Consider Yourself probably took a month to do.
Really?
Who will buy my sweet red roses to bloom for? Sweet red roses to bloom for a penny.
Oliver was adapted from a stage musical version created by Lionel Bart a few years before the film. It is Lionel's music and lyrics that are heard in the film, capturing the mood of the era and the hearts of all who watched.
Yeah, it's difficult to have a favourite, but I think because of the composition and the way it was done, I think Who Will Buy is pretty much my favourite because I like the way it started off with the single rose cellar and then it just built up and built up and built up and then you had window cleaners coming down ladders. Yeah, people doing cartwheels and you had clowns in the park. All that was a set, of course. I just think the whole way that was presented was just magnificent.
The whole thing is just, for me, is magical. And I mean, was it magical for you to be dancing and doing all those things and watching, I mean, seeing people like Jack, who was tremendously talented, wasn't he? Mm. I mean, tell us a bit about that, what it was like to be there with those people.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a great sense of camaraderie between all of us on the set. It was like, it really was a really well-run team, right from Carol Reed, the director, down through the actors, even to, you know, the general guys who used to bring the bacon rolls around. There was a real sense of we knew almost that what we were doing was going to be something that would be around for 50 years at least.
And of course it did phenomenally well in terms of all its Oscar nominations and things. I mean, compared to most musicals, which don't tend to get that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, we were. I was asked to present Honor White with her Oscar. And so I think Jack and I did some sort of routine on stage, just a bit of a banter. And I remember going, it was some huge venue in Los Angeles, and we were taken by a chauffeur-driven car, and it was all great and wonderful, and it was all splendid show business stuff.
In this life, one thing counts in the bank, large amounts. I'm afraid these don't grow on trees. You gotta pick a pocket or two. You gotta pick a pocket or two, boys.
you got to pick a pocket or two.
After the film, a lot of parts fell into Mark's lap.
You did something quite nice, quite special in 1971 with Jack, didn't you? There was a little drama that you did together, wasn't there?
We did a film called Melody.
Yes.
Or Swalk.
Quite a sweet little film.
It was an extremely good film with a lot of really good music from the Bee Gees in. Funnily enough, it wasn't particularly popular in this country, but it was a smash hit in the Far East.
Japan and places, yeah.
It was number one film for, again, a year. And it's still, I get fan mail all the time from Japan.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've been to Japan probably 20 times on the back of that film. Not Oliver.
No.
On Melody.
Yeah.
And they absolutely love it.
By the time he was 18, the offers of work stopped coming. Mark had never really been that set on a career in showbiz anyway, and was happy to let it go. But his role as Oliver continued to shape his life. For instance, in the close friendship he formed with fellow child star Michael Jackson, who at the time was famous for the Jackson 5, of course. Today, Mark is an osteopath. Looking back, and now just turned 60, he's grateful for having Oliver in his life.
Do you ever get tired of doing interviews about Oliver?
Well, it depends how many I do. No, it's always something that's there, and I like to be able to talk about it because it was a huge part of my life, and it affected the way my life has gone. So yeah, I'm just really glad to have been involved in something that, you know, is a masterpiece, really, I guess. And you know, even if I say so myself, it was all the components of everything that just fell into the mix and came out and worked.
50 years on, Oliver is still revered and remembered by generations around the world. For many millions, Mark's angelic face will forever be their Oliver Twist. This is Ashley Byrne for DW in Cheltenham, England.
This report was brought to you by DW.